Do you struggle to speak up? Do you feel uncomfortable asserting yourself?
Do these phrases sound familiar to you?
What? Speak up!
Cat got your tongue, has it? I can't hear you!
Sorry?
I bet they do. And once upon a time, they did for me too. Now, I can't bloody shut up, and I'm here to tell you how you can be the same. So be warned. If your voice is lacking in energy, volume, or clarity, fear not! There are ways to improve, and in this video, I'm going to share with you the most effective ones I've found. Think of your voice in three ways. Physiological, psychological, and performative. Physiological is the physical body, your instrument that creates the sound. Psychological, your mindset, confidence, and self-awareness in using your voice. And performative, the technical aspects of vocal delivery and style. But before we start, I need to ask you to be mindful of your voice as we go through this video and as you go through on forward with your life. Try to recognize what element could it be that's holding you back? Could it be your physiology, your instrument? Is it something that's physically happening that you can't control or would like to improve upon? Or maybe it's like an emotional or psychological block. Maybe it's confidence or self-esteem. Or then perhaps it's just a skill set that you need to work on or practice because you don't have the skills or the craft of speaking as well as you could. Either way, we're going to go through all three, and it may be that one of these affects you, could be that two or all three. So let's get into it.
Your voice can be affected by several factors. Age, sex, posture, tension, diet, hydration, temperature, moisture, and injury. As I said previously, the voice is a physical instrument. If you don't take care of it, it's likely not to work as effectively for you.
So genetics plays a role in how your voice functions because that's what your body is and that's what you have. It's the same with disabilities or even injuries that you might have had. And if any of these you believe are affecting your voice or hindering you from being able to project or improve upon your voice, it might be best to speak with a vocal health practitioner or a speech pathologist who can really ascertain the proper course of treatment or exercises to move forward in improvement. Then there's age. Like an athlete, at some point in your life, your physical ability will not be as great as it once was. And so maintaining vocal warm-ups, exercises, and regular practice is always going to be more beneficial for you as you get older. But if you're starting this from a later age, it might take you a little longer to get into some of these things and to work on that projection or any other thing that you'd like to improve upon your voice. So just keep that in mind, that a well-trained voice will last longer than one that's just not done any work ever. Then there's diet, temperature, hydration, and moisture. So it's quite clear that the body responds best to certain temperatures and certain degrees of moisture, but also rest. Are you getting enough sleep? It's like anything. If you feel fatigued, if your body isn't getting enough rest or doesn't have enough nutrition or enough hydration, it doesn't function as well as it should. Therefore, that's going to have an effect on your voice. If you find that you're dry or you can't get enough breath and this is affecting your voice and maybe even your projection, then it's worth looking at all the things that make you a healthy human would also make your voice more healthy. So keep those under consideration. As such, the daily ergonomics of your work or play or whatever it is that you do for a living or through the day, the majority of your time, is really worth looking at because tension and posture, your body's alignment, you know, is designed to be a certain way, and we tend to make changes to it according to the way we either work or want to look. So by going to the gym, working on getting abs and six pack or sitting at a desk on a computer all day, scrunched over. All of these things over time will have a detrimental effect to your body's alignment and therefore affect your voice. And so these are other elements that you can consider when you're thinking about if this ability to project oneself isn't as you wish it to be, the other areas. And again, I've got lots of videos on this channel. Perhaps this is a good one if you're thinking about working on your body's posture and alignment or relaxation in order to improve your body. But let's go through some exercises now and take a look at how these can better improve our physical ability to project our voice. So now we're going to do a set of three exercises, two on the ground and one standing up. So let's begin by coming down to the ground. Okay, so we're going to come down to our side and then roll onto our back. Just so you know, supine is when you're laying down, legs out flat. And if you bring your legs up like this, your knees, you bring your feet in, so your knees are at 45 degree angle, you'll find that you are now in semi-supine. So this is the position that has appeared in nearly every voice class or singing tutorial I've been to. It's a really good way for you to ground yourself, to check in with your breath, and to feel what's going on as you breathe. You can keep your hands here on your belly, on your torso. And I'm not suggesting you try to breathe into that. Just notice where you do breathe. And if you do find yourself inhaling up here, try and find relaxation in your shoulders. And this is a position that is really good to be in as a starting point to any warm-up or any voice work. Just to check in with yourself. Give yourself a few minutes to breathe. Relax. Let go of the tension of the day. And allow gravity to take it away from you. Just sink into the earth. I'm not suggesting that you breathe in through your nose, out through the mouth, or any other way. Find what's comfortable and what feels most natural to you. I'll give you a couple of minutes here. Just try and find the thing that aim is without forcing it, to get your spine to lay across the floor. And actually, by bringing your feet up, it actually flattens your back out a bit. And you can let gravity take away that any tension. When you breathe out, it's a nice idea to imagine that the earth is pulling away your stresses and tensions. So let's have 2 minutes here and just breathe in your own time. Try and slow down. Let go of the day. If you have the time, you can do this for around 5, 10, or even 20 minutes. A voice coach once told me that for every hour you spend in the gym, you should spend 2 hours in semi-supine. Of course, that was advice to actors and singers. But for any vocal improvement, if you're trying to get better, why not do what the professionals do, eh? Okay, that's enough for now. But if you can get time to do this, it's really worth checking in and finding how you feel in this position. Okay, but when you get up, let's roll to the side and not just do a sit-up. Give yourself a minute there, because obviously you've been taking deep breaths as well, so that can go to your head and it can make you dizzy. So we just come then up gradually, then onto your knees, and when you feel ready, you can come back to your feet. So remember, it's always really wise when you've been doing some of these exercises to take your time in standing up. You know your body best, but if you're new to these exercises, you can be taking in more oxygen and it can make you a little dizzy. So just take your time. There's no problem there. So next, we're actually going to go down into a squatting position. So if you can't squat, if you've got really tight legs, then take a chair or kneel down if you can. So let's give it a go. Okay, so in this position, we're going to create an SCH sound. Try and get yourself comfortable. Keep your belly relaxed. And as you breathe, you might notice there's a bit more restriction in your breath and it starts to want to move out to towards the back. That's normal, that's great. It's actually what we want. So we're gonna take a good relaxed but deep breath, not forcing, not pushing, don't try and inhale too much. And we're gonna say the SCH sound as long as we can, and then do that a few times. I noticed the second time round I did that much longer because I was controlling the air a bit more. I'm gonna go even longer this time if I can, which means it won't be so loud because we're not trying to project now. This is just an exercise. But if you can see how long you can hold this for and how long you can allow that exhale to happen, you start to get a bit more control. And we can use that control later when coming to projection. So one more. If you're still going, keep going as long as you can. If you stopped ages ago, don't worry. It's not a competition and everyone's different. So you do what's best for you, what works for you. We're gonna do the same thing again now. Oh, one caveat actually before we continue is that this can get uncomfortable if you're not used to doing this after a while. So please feel free to get onto your knees. But if you feel like you want to do the whole exercise on your knees because it's too uncomfortable on your feet, then you can sort of widen your legs and kind of lean down on your hands a little. But keeping your legs open here is kind of important because actually that's allowing a bit of space. Okay, so now we're going to do the same but with a Z instead of an H. So it's like a zh. So what we're doing here is actually connecting the vocal folds, so we're creating sound now. This is a voiced exercise. So I'm gonna do the same thing again. Back up here, like this, for me. And as you do these exercises, try to notice if there is any tension in this position. Of course, it's not going to be comfortable. I'm a bit uncomfortable, especially my ankles. I'm very tight in my calves. But your neck, shoulders, try not to be too hunched up. Try and relax them as you can and allow gravity to do the work. So you can try and sit into this position. Let go a little bit. So let's do that a couple more times. I felt like I was pushing a bit there, and I don't want to be pushing, so actually the air is kind of, it feels like being forced out because of this position. I've got a bit of a big belly, so it's leaning on my legs and it's pushing, like forcing the air out. So again, I'm controlling that, and by controlling that diaphragm, I'm getting more used to understanding and playing with this breathing apparatus. So let's do it one more time. Shh.
Okay, back onto your knees.
And sometimes when you do these exercises, if they're new to you, you can get a little lightheaded. So don't stand up straight away in case you fall over. Take your time. And then we'll get up slowly and do the next exercise. Again, take our time to move up and allow our bodies to adjust. This next exercise, we're going to roll a shoulder back. Try and keep it relaxed so it's down, it's normal position. Roll it back, and then we're going to take our arm, elbow, move that around by touching our shoulder, and then we'll take our whole arm, and notice that I follow it by turning with my body. So I'm going to do the shoulder. It brings me with it. And then like this, and then the arm. You notice that I'm turning from the torso, I'm not just turning my neck. And if you do that movement, and allow your body to follow it, you'll find it's quite natural. And we're not pushing, we're not making it happen, we're just following the movement and allowing our bodies to move with it. Okay, this is gonna help relieve some tension here in our neck and shoulders. So we do this one, then that shoulder, then the elbow, then the full arm. Okay, you can do this 7 times. I'm not sure how many that is, but roughly 7 times. For now, there is no amount that you need to do, but I'd say 7's a good number to start with. And then we can go back the other way. So we start with the shoulder, then with the elbow, and then the arm. I've got a ceiling here, so I'm being careful. Again, allow your body to just turn and follow that movement rather than you forcing it. What's this? 4 maybe? A couple more. And all this time, you're keeping your knees unlocked and facing in line with your toes. So let's now go to the other side. Or do we go back first? Yeah, so shoulder, elbow, arm, shoulder, elbow, arm. And so with your breath, you're not necessarily connecting anything. You're just allowing your belly to be relaxed, your breath to be free. And if you can, also allow your neck to be free. We're trying to find relaxation in our body and ease out, gently ease out some of these tensions that we can build up through our daily ergonomics, our posture, exercises, just the day-to-day living. Let's go the other way now. Shoulder, elbow, arm, shoulder, elbow, arm. Keeping notice of that natural twist in the body. If it makes it easier for you, you can even follow the end of what's moving. So you could, for this one, look at your shoulder, then look at your elbow, and then look at your hand. Shoulder, elbow, hand. And by following that with your eyes, your head will likely go to the right place. So those are our warm-up exercises. And now perhaps we're ready to start adding in some of that, those techniques for adding volume and projecting. As we move forward, there's going to be a couple of things that might feel a bit embarrassing, and we're going to be making more noise. So if you have neighbors or pets or work colleagues or anyone nearby, you might want to try and find a private, maybe safe space. Maybe it's in your bedroom or a cellar or somewhere tucked away in a barn in the middle of nowhere. But this way you can avoid the embarrassment, and because they can be. The first one we're going to do is going to start with a hum. And then we're going to just open our mouth. So, nice and light. We're not pushing, we're not forcing, we're not doing anything to add volume yet. Right now, we're just trying to find the same kind of ease as when we were in semi-supine breathing, and that same kind of control as when we're doing the zzzz sound. So you're not forcing air out, you're just allowing it to come out at its own rate. So when you find that you know you're relaxing, you're not pushing, that's when you open your mouth. It's almost like a sigh. But we're not dropping all our air out. We're not spilling it. We're still having a bit of control. Try and feel if you've got any tension still in your neck. Keep your knees unlocked. Belly loose. Everything loose. You know, just try and find that ease of effort. We're not forcing anything. Remember, this is about projecting, but we're not shouting. Okay, so we're just allowing it to happen. Now, here's where we're going to add in our first little touch of projection. We're going to be careful. We're not going to do it for too long. Again, it might be something you have to play with and discover for yourself how it works. But we're going to, and this is where it gets embarrassing, we're going to attempt a fart as we do it, all right? But we're not, I want to be careful in case you had, you know, some, you know, food yesterday or that might have upset your stomach and we don't want to follow through. So what we're going to do is first engage our pelvic floor muscles. Now, for those who do yoga, you're going to understand what that is. But for those who don't, the pelvic floor muscles are the ones that shut off your pee and poo. So when you want to use the toilet and you then trying to hold it in, those are the muscles that you engage. This is a good one to do for some exercises, actually. But for this one, we don't want to actually accidentally open the floodgates. So what we're going to do is just hold that muscle. Just tighten it. Can you feel that? Tighten it like you're stopping yourself from going to the toilet. And then we're going to try and fart, which is going to be strange because we're going to feel it in our bellies. Here's what happens. We hum, and then clenching those muscles, we try to fart at the same time. So let's just test this out. Remember, we don't want anything to happen up here. It's all happening down here. Okay? All that trying to fart is not us trying to make volume, but the volume will come. Can you hear it? Did you hear the difference? I noticed my pitch go up there, so I'm going to try and keep my pitch down. So it's not a huge difference, but I mean, I can feel it and I can hear it in the space that I'm in. So you have to try it for yourself. There's no point recording this. This is just really for you to find what's going on when you tighten those muscles and then try to fart. Because that effort is actually causing you, if you're still being controlled and relaxed, it's actually causing a certain amount of pressure that's allowing the air to come out a little more forcefully, but we're not really trying to fart. We're not trying to squeeze it all out. We're just testing that. And another way we can test that is with this other exercise, which is laughing. Now, you can or cannot do the same thing with holding your pelvic floor muscles, but I'm going to do a laugh, and it's ha ha ha. So rather than me going ha 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 from my throat, not that I do that anyway, I've done this so long it's really hard for me to even pretend not to, but you're going to do the same thing, but you're going to connect the ha with also that a tiny bit of a fart, ha ha ha. So rather than ha ha ha, ha ha. Now, that's me trying to fart. What happens is my diaphragm is huh, huh, moving in. And it's very powerful. It really projects. Now, these are staccato, so we tried it gently and sustained, and now we're doing it more, you know, more sudden and direct, and it allows a lot of air to pop out quickly. So we could then, if we were to say, hey, and then add this in, hey, it really travels. Hey, 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 hey. Now, eventually you're going to figure out that by trying to fart, it might be going slightly the right direction, but you get the intention of it and you feel where the movement comes from. That's what I'm aiming for here. Now, if you're not quite getting that yet, go back to the and try it with the pelvic floor muscles, and then come to this one. It's a very different thing that if I tried to fart, and if I tried to pull my stomach in, this seems to throw my whole body, but the farting thing keeps it grounded and it helps push down, which unconsciously does the same job, but without less effort to my entire body and less convulsion. So test it, play with it. Again, this video is for people who don't really know how to project. So these are the stepping stones to connecting the dots, to helping you understand how these things go together. But again, how do you put this into a sentence, and how do you sustain this over a more longer phrase, if you like? Staying relaxed, keeping relaxed, belly relaxed, knees unlocked. Think of that sigh again. Just let go. And now I want you to just add a little bit of that same feeling in as the ha, but just extend it. It might feel a little bit like throwing up, but we're not going that far. So I could feel a little bit of tension creeping in here. There's a lot of vibrations. It's moving a lot of air through. And so I have to be relaxed, because otherwise I could cause some damage. So we have to allow the air to flow and these vocal folds to be limber and do their thing without us trying to restrict them and control them. So that's why it's really important that we're relaxed. Hey, you! I don't know why I still like that. Okay, play with it. Okay, this is just the next step. And I do make sure that you understand each step before you move on. Okay, these are going to help you get there. And this is the quickest way, actually, to get there, is by figuring out what this connection is with keeping a relaxed belly and not doing anything up here. You can also move through the resonators once you got used to sort of engaging that muscle. When I had my first singing lesson, when I was 14 years old, I believe, or 15 maybe, I was taking lessons in rock singing. And the singer at the time taught both opera and rock. And he really gave me this, despite the fact that I developed, you know, speaking issues later on. As a singer, I got a lot of confidence in my ability to create volume. So on stage, I was fine, just wasn't fine in real life. So what he did, and I really don't suggest this for everyone, but we're going to go through, I'm going to show you, because it might help you to connect this again and stop doing too much work up here. It can be quite powerful, so be very careful with it. But what you're going to do is get either a poof or a chair or a box or some pillows or something that you're going to lay on top of your belly. So pillows might be the best thing. I'm going to use a soap box. But let's take a look at that. This is a soap box. It's a bit hard for this job, so I think pillows might do a better job, and maybe it's too high as well. But essentially what you're going to do is lay over it, so your belly, so it doesn't hit your ribs here. You can do this on a chair or a stool too. But what's going to happen is you're just going to breathe and find out what happens when you're breathing into your belly.
So maybe use your elbows. Again, take it over the edge. You're going to find it move you. You're going to find that when you're breathing into your belly like this, it's going to rock you. So this is the lesson that I had at a young age. I started to learn how to connect, to project, to make more volume, and connecting this breath, this diaphragmic breathing, with the out breath. So you've got to make sure that you're very relaxed here in your neck and shoulders. And we're going to just start this by sighing. So breathe in and breathe out. And you might find that you fall forward. This is a last resort, okay? This is not something that you really want to do all the time. It's only if you're really getting stuck and you need to understand this connection. But by breathing into your belly there and allowing the air to be moved out by the force of you being on top of some pillows or a chair or a box, I'm really hoping that helps you connect where the air is, where the effort for the air might be better coming from, especially in order to project your voice. All right. Okay, so hopefully this has been interesting. This is the end of part one on physiology. So we had a warm up and we did some exercises that's going to help you physically understand how you can create more volume and project your voice. If you find that you might have already connected with these, then it could be that you need one of the next two things, or maybe you're very confident and have lots of skill and it was just this you needed. Therefore, you know, subscribe to the channel, share this video if it's useful, and don't forget to like and, you know, sign up as a subscriber to my website and get the first week of my 8-week course on breath for free. So if that's you, goodbye. Thank you very much for being here. If it's not everything that you need to learn, there's more coming up, so stick with it. Part two, psychological. Let's say that your voice is physically fine. You're well hydrated, well rested. You perhaps even have a really good instrument, and it's something that you know works perfectly fine. It's possible that you might feel shy or embarrassed or intimidated about using your voice or communicating with others. And I think this is more to do with you sharing yourself with others. So if it is emotional or psychological, then it's worth knowing that, again, there are ways and means to overcome this to help you then further project your voice and allow it out so you can share yourself better with the world. I used to have this issue, and for a very long time I mumbled and withheld my voice. I actually thought my voice was much louder than it was, and this made me pull back, swallow my words, and develop the habit of mumbling. However, as a singer in a band, I was confident with my actual physicality, and I was able to put on a mask, if you like, in my bands. I was able to become someone else and put a character on, and that allowed me the confidence, especially with the band and in this barrier of having a stage and a microphone in front of me as well. It sort of helped with that emotional distance to the people I was communicating or singing to or performing for. But really, in everyday life, I was really uncomfortable in my own skin. I remember working in a kitchen at the time, a job I really didn't like. It was very stressful, and I pulled away so much that the people who worked in the bar, for example, couldn't really communicate with me. Well, they could, but I wasn't responding clearly enough or loudly enough. I thought my voice was really loud, or I was shouting at people, but it wasn't. I was really struggling to just share myself, and that's something that took me a long while to really get over. But let's look at now if there's a few things we can do to perhaps counterbalance that and
and improve upon it. I mean, it doesn't matter if you know where it comes from either. Like, for example, I was bullied a lot as a child, and I remember even being told by a teacher once in an assembly that I shouldn't sing because my voice was terrible. And I think that had an effect on me for a long time, or it didn't really creep up until years later. But it wasn't that I couldn't project my voice or add volume, for example, or be clearer. It was that I was unwilling to, and I really didn't trust others, and I felt vulnerable. And perhaps this could be happening to you, or perhaps something close to this is happening. Either way, we can block ourselves emotionally and psychologically.
Do you struggle to speak up? Do you feel uncomfortable asserting yourself? Do you perhaps feel uncomfortable speaking up because you're intimidated? You feel judged, or are just shy? I call these psychological blocks, and if it sounds like you, here are some things you can try.
The biggest breakthrough for me was learning to shift my focus away from myself. I was too focused on how awkward and uncomfortable I felt. I was stuck in my own head, overthinking everything and not able to communicate my message, which only made it worse. Find a space where you feel safe, where no one will judge you. Perhaps it's tucked away under the stairs or away from your neighbours or in a forest even, just somewhere where you don't feel self-conscious about what others think. You might feel conscious about what you're doing and feel a bit silly, but you can learn to get over that much easier than if it's, you know, the pressure of other people judging you. And that's what we're eventually going to do. And in order to do this, we're going to go back to the exercises from part one, where we added the ha-ha-has and the farting in, and try and find some sentences like, do you have the time? But we're going to add them in with that exercise in mind. And of course, you're not going to walk up to someone very close and say, do you have the time? That's just a little bit unnecessary. But what we're going to do is just allow you to get out of your comfort zone a little bit more and push and actually try to have a bit of volume, because it's easier to bring back volume than it is for many people to actually project it. So by going a little further than you are comfortable, you're probably not getting as far as you maybe should. It depends where you are, how much you want to project. So adding a full sentence into that same exercise is going to help you develop the idea of sustaining a sentence or a conversation at a more projected volume. Say you have to speak in front of a large audience, or in a bigger room, or in assembly hall, or in a church, or wherever that may be for you, or outdoors even, at a marketplace, or in a field, or a football pitch. You can use this in order to then project your voice. But we're just going to say simple things right now. It will feel awkward at first, but that's part of the reason that you're blocked, that awkward feeling. So get that embarrassment out of the way, and that's important. Feel the embarrassment, laugh it off, do it again. And once you get used to feeling stupid alone, you can start feeling stupid in front of other people. If it helps, find someone that you think is confident, or that you feel has a good voice, or is able to project themselves. And when I say project, of course, I mean not just through volume, but also through their presence. Find someone that you perhaps feel does it a good job of it. I'm not asking you to become them or act like them or copy them even, but I want you to imagine, again, as you're on your own, imagine that you are inhabiting their body. How do they stand? Where are their shoulders? What's their body like? Where are they breathing? How do they walk? What's their attitude like? And since you're on your own, try and have a little play at walking around, breathing like they do, perhaps parrot fashion the way they speak. Hey, how's it going out there? It doesn't really matter. The point here is to adopt a kind of, not mask, but a persona, an attitude of this person, and just see what it does to your body, how it makes you feel to stand like they do. Maybe it's they've got a big chest and they pull their shoulders back. Perhaps they don't. Perhaps they're crunched down, but they're just very solid and very grounded. Whatever it is, try and pay attention. These observations will help you further observe yourself as well, because once you notice what other people are doing, you become more aware of your own physicality. And perhaps if you've got a psychological block, it could be also in your body. And by changing your body and your alignment, your posture, and using the attitude of someone else, you might just unlock something in yourself, and it might not even be obvious to you. So play with that. That's a really good technique to work on.
Practicing in real situations. Once you're comfortable feeling silly alone, it's now time to try it out in the real world. Find a stranger first and ask them for the time, or perhaps directions. If you find yourself hearing
what?
Or
speak up!
Or even
sorry?
Then now it's time to go back into practice mode, adjust your posture, and channel that imaginary person, and then blow it out! Who cares? They don't know you, so just try it.
This is your opportunity to not feel judged. Use them as an experience for you to get better. And remember, the message or the details of what you're asking that person is more important than the fear you feel asking them. If you want to know what the time is, you knowing the time is more important than how you feel about speaking to someone in order to ask them for the time. It's so common, it's so regular, shouldn't be hard to do. And again, you don't know this person, so just try it in this newfound identity of yours. It's just an exercise. Remember, I'm not trying to change who you are, just trying to help you find that you can choose your attitude and find that confidence by playing with it, by imagining it. And remember, those feelings of fear that you have don't serve you. That's why you're here. And this is the next step. Part 3, performance. Let's assume that you have the voice and you have the confidence, but you still somehow can't project your voice. That's okay, it's likely just a matter of approach. The exercises from part 1 will allow you to connect with your breath and allow your voice to flow more freely. Projection alone is just noise, so if you continually push, you're just going to tire yourself out. So when it comes to performance, try and think of these things. The teeth, the tongue, the tip of the lips, the tip of the lips, the teeth, the tongue. There's the little articulation exercise that I've been taught many years ago. But it's quite important that if you feel people can't hear you, it might not just be volume. It could be the way you're speaking, and it could be the fact that you've got too much restriction. Perhaps you're not using your jaw. Maybe it's not opening enough to let enough air out in order for that projection to work. Or perhaps you're not punctuating your sentences and your words enough for people to hear you clearly. Without articulation, you are just going to sound like a zombie looking for brains. Don't be a hungry zombie. Enunciate what you're saying. Now, there's no point me going through a whole articulation and clarity workout here, because I've got so many videos on this channel. In fact, here's a great one. Go and check it out after this and work on that, as well as the projection and thinking about your confidence. Consider these skills for actually developing speech that's clearer.
2, pace, spacing between words and rate of speech. 3, slow down. Not everyone can keep up with your rate of speech. You're trying to communicate an idea, question, or statement, but if you rush, people may miss your words entirely. This is the projection of your thoughts. Being more deliberate, punctuating your speech, and allowing for natural pauses will allow for your audience to take in better what you're saying. Therefore, you will appear clearer and as if you have projected fully enough.
Action. Being clear on your objective. If you ramble on, even at a good pace, your mouth will start outrunning your brain and you'll just end up blah, 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 talking blah, blah, blah. Take the opportunity to breathe and think about what you might say. Ask yourself, what is my objective? What am I trying to say? Who am I speaking to? And what am I trying to communicate? The words you choose will be so much more powerful and projected and understood once you understand why you're using them, rather than just filling the space with sound, as I tend to do on this channel. all the time. Pay attention. You're welcome. Okay. Final thought.
Final thought. Projection isn't just about volume. It's about clarity, intention, and purpose. Master these, and no matter how loud you're speaking, you will project yourself, your ideas, and your voice clearly for others to hear.
So thank you for getting to the end of the video. I assume that if you've got this far, then you've got something out of it, or that you're really intent on improving your voice. And if that is the case, I've opened up all of my courses. Rather than selling them individually for lifetime access, I'm doing a 365, which is a 1-year subscription, and having everything for the cost of what used to be the price of just one. So get involved. And if anyone who signs up within a week of this video being posted can have a free one-on-one session with me for 30 minutes. We can go through your goals, where you are now, and how to go through the courses in the right order that's going to benefit you the most. So hopefully that's an incentive for you to come on board and actually continue to improve your voice. My name is Darren McStay. This is Improve Your Voice. And until the next time, thank you once again. And look after your voice. Oh.